This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday! Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go all across the country with that Odyssey app. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. We thank you for tuning in this Friday morning, March 28th, 2025. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop.
Yes, sir. Happy Friday, boys.
Happy Friday. And Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello. What's up, everybody?
Running the three-man show with EB at a volleyball tournament. He did turn in his survivor pick.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I believe he advanced. I believe Cakes advanced using Duke, even though he said he wasn't going to burn Duke. He did.
I didn't want to burn him.
Yep. I don't believe Jason Bishop advanced. You did not survive.
Well, I mean, it was an epic collapse by Arkansas. It was just, you know, you blow a double-digit lead with 4 minutes to play. That's just typical of my survivor pool luck.
That would have been a nice pull if you get a 10 seed through this late in the tournament.
Yeah, well, I wanted to save some of the other ones. I had used a couple high seeds.
It was risky.
It was risky, but, you know, what's the percentage of chances of winning when they're up 13 with 4 minutes to play?
I mean, if you go on the ESPN predictor,
98%?
That point, it's probably 95% or higher.
Do they do that for basketball?
I've
never noticed that for basketball.
I'm not sure.
Maybe. It's very high.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Well, Maryland is one of those teams.
You three are still alive.
Maryland is one of those teams that is not in the field anymore, and we don't know what's going to happen with their coach.
The future's very uncertain at this point.
It's still a mystery, and it's just a crazy story. Really.
But before we get to that, the game was, look, it was a 2-point game at halftime, and then Florida just came out and dominated in the second half.
They're a better team. I mean, they're deeper.
They out-rebounded the Terps by 22.
That was the biggest thing.
I mean, just if you're just not going to get second opportunities against a one seed, and you're going to turn the ball over a bunch, had 11 turnovers, you're just not going to win that game.
I mean, the only reason they were kind of in the game in the first half is because all the turnovers that Florida was committing in the first half. They committed a ton. Florida wasn't that great. In terms of taking care of the ball in the first half. And then the second half, they just kind of ran away with it. And you could kind of tell that the Terps players were spent.
Right.
Last, I don't know, 6 or 7 minutes, you could tell they were just spent getting up and down the court. And Florida just likes that pace of play, man. And they're deep and they're good and they're a one seed for a reason.
And look, if you rely so heavily on your starting five and one of those starting five gives you a donut,
yep,
which Miguel gave you last night,
yep,
that's going to be tough to recover from.
Sure.
So, really good run. Sweet 16 for the first time since 2016.
Yep.
But they bow to the one seed.
My cousin, Toddy Waddy, Todd Bishop,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, we've talked about him before. He and his buddy JB are friends with somebody pretty high up in Maryland athletics.
They're connected.
And okay. They went out to the game. And, I don't know, first 5 minutes of the game, after I think Maryland had like 3-point lead,
mm-hmm.
cameras panned to my cousin.
Oh, you saw him?
Yeah, my cousin, big Toddy Waddy.
He's featured in the crowd.
He was right there. He and JB slapping each other up.
I did not realize that.
And but it was pretty funny.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say about the rebounding margin is, remember when Willard gave the smart aleck response to the reporter who asked him about the NIL, uh-huh. and he just went into the whole, he avoided the question and went into the whole breakdown of Florida star player. And then at the end, he just talked about rebounding. He's like, and if we can't rebound, we can't beat anybody.
Well, he was right.
He's completely right.
He was concerned for a reason.
There's no way around that. I mean, they got out rebounded by Colorado State too.
Yeah.
They just hit a huge shot at the end.
Weather, right.
But look, no shame in losing to a one seed. It would have been nice had it been closer. Turned into a blowout with about 7 or 8 minutes left.
Yeah.
But this is what happens. They ran into, Florida looked like a buzzsaw last night. And they did, like, one of their better players was sidelined for about 80% of the game.
Yeah, Connor was out.
So,
correct.
Queen was awesome. Nobody else really on Maryland was that good. I mean, Reese was early.
Gillespie hit some big shots.
Gillespie had 13 points in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
If not the first 10 minutes, he was on fire. But they kind of just all died in the second half. But look, Florida, their guards are legit. All right, they're deep. They're one of the deepest mm-hmm. teams in the tournament.
They can stroke it, man.
They're just really, really good.
Yeah.
So it was a great season. And now the biggest story, of course, is off the court and what's Willard doing.
Totally.
Does anybody believe he hasn't talked to his wife about the situation when he says that? Does anybody in the country believe that?
I do not.
Does anybody believe he hasn't talked to his agent? I don't believe it.
I almost don't know how he goes back. Valdez, do we have the audio of Willard
Valdez is in the hotel?
Over there. It's our guy,
oh, that's
Max.
Right.
Max
Sorry.
Is running the board today.
Mad Max.
No Valdez today. You're stuck with me, boys.
Yeah. Valdez is he on a golf trip?
I believe so. I think he said he's going to Kingsmill. He'll be in Williamsburg.
Oh, that's right. He's in Williamsburg.
So he can play golf, and then he can go like do the Colonial Tour and make his own candles.
Correct.
And blow glass and do that all that other terrible stuff in Williamsburg.
Right.
Well, I know this. When they showed that scene, and Cakes is saying the boos were sparse, but it's a moment where the fans at the hotel are trying to pump up the players and everything.
Yeah.
And they're cheering for the players and everything, and then Willard goes by and boo!
There are a few boos. One of my people.
It was probably my cousin, Toddy Waddy. It sounded like him.
It may have been.
But I know this. I put up an early poll of the day. I put it up last night right after the game.
Yeah.
Our drink Surfside poll of the day. We love Surfside iced tea and vodka. Surfside lemonade and vodka. They are the perfect addition to any gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can find them at liquor stores in variety 8-packs. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. And it's just, do you want Kevin Willard to remain the Terrapins coach next season?
I kind of have mixed feelings at this point, man. Everybody tells us he's a great coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd like to see a Final Four on a guy's resume before I call him a great coach. But who am I to determine whether he's a really good X's and O's guy or not? I don't know.
What do you think the fans are at on the voting?
Oh,
almost 700 votes.
Oh, I'm going to guess 80% do not want him here.
I would say 75 to 80%.
73% right now say no. Yeah. Do not want Kevin Willard back.
Yeah.
800-636-1067 if you want to chime in on that, or you can vote at Junks Radio. Our pal Bobby Bancroft, who I used to play soccer with for about 15, 20 years, pointed out Kevin Willard now 4-7 all time in the NCAA tournament. Now he had lesser teams, I would say.
Yeah, but he's
tough.
He still has a great resume. I mean, he brings the Terps to the Sweet 16 in his third year. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I just didn't think the way that he was talking was worthy of a top 10 paid coach in all of college basketball. Well, but
okay, but we don't know what how those discussions are handled. We don't know if he goes in there and goes, all right, I want to be paid as a top 10 coach, or if Maryland just says, we really want to keep you and we'll pay you like a top 10 coach. Mm-hmm. That stuff we just don't know. But his comments are just a mystery.
Yeah, the way he handled things during the NCAA tournament run, I mean, he butchered it about as badly as you can do it in the public perception.
Right.
Like, he could have kept everything in-house. I guess he just said, look, I have a forum here where I can air the grievances that I have with the school, with the program, with the revenue sharing, and he chose to take it instead of just keeping it all behind closed doors and keeping it private. I don't know if that was the best look.
But think
for him.
About this. Think about what he said in the press conference initially when he was calling out the school and basically calling out Damon Evans for not providing enough funds for the basketball program and paying too much for the football program. He had an issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
He basically said that. Damon Evans going to SMU.
Yep.
And then last night after the game, he says, my biggest concern in life right now is I don't know who my boss is going to be. The guy who brought me in here, I really like.
Okay.
That's what he said.
He's all over the place.
The guy who brought me here, who I really like, appreciative of him bringing me to College Park, is not here. I don't know who we're going to hire.
Let's listen to Willard say it.
All right, we'll let him say it.
And then you tell me if you believe him.
Right now, my biggest concerns in life right now, you know, I don't know who my boss is going to be. It's the guy that brought me here, who I really liked and appreciative of him bringing me to College Park, is not here anymore. And I don't know who we're going to hire. And that's, as in today's day and age, that worries me a little bit. I'm just being honest. My honesty got me in trouble. Might as well keep getting me in trouble. This is going to be a family decision. I love College Park. I love Maryland, you know, but there's, when you're at this point in your career and you're looking at things, I have to take everything into consideration about what's going moving forward. But I have not even talked to anybody, so I don't know what I'm doing.
Like, you could,
does anybody
could
believe
still,
that?
Like, I guess he could still like Damon Evans, but
as a person,
he just still has issues with the way the money's divvied up. Like, you could still like your boss and you can have a disagreement with that person about the way things are run.
Yeah, but right? The way he said it, it almost sounds like he says, I wish he was still here.
He's trying to...
Which he probably doesn't.
Well, I can't imagine, yeah.
I think he's just trying to sell everybody on he's unsure.
Right.
And then when he leaves,
that can be an excuse. He can be like, you know what? The Maryland AD, the athletic department, was a mess. Villanova, if that's where he lands, is more stable. And, I mean, he's probably not going to come out and say it, but... You guys aren't going to dedicate millions upon millions to your football program. And more of that money is going to come to me in the basketball program, which I'm sure is something he's been weighing.
Here's an example of some of the social media responses. You can always hit us up on X at Junks Radio. From Skooma Steve. Dude is a low character individual for putting these young men through such a major distraction before the biggest game of their lives. Good riddance. I think a lot of people feel that way.
I knew that was going to come out, and I understand why the fans feel that way, the whole distraction part of it. Even if Willard didn't say this, none of this came out. If he signed a 10-year extension 2 weeks ago, Maryland wasn't beating Florida.
Right.
So I'm not going to go there, and I'm not going to say that this is the reason Maryland lost, but it's just befuddling that he's making these comments. Is that a word, befuddling?
Yes.
I don't even know if it's
a good word, solid word.
But I don't get it. I don't believe them. Mm-hmm. There's no way I believe that he hasn't talked to his agent, or he hasn't talked to Villanova, or he hasn't talked to his wife about it. Does anybody believe he hasn't talked to his family? He basically said, the most important thing to me is my family and happiness for them. So, of course, he's talked to his wife. Just make your decision, bro. If you want to go to Villanova, go to Villanova.
Oh, he might be today.
You're working hard to put food
but
on your family.
It should have been announced after the game.
Wow.
He shouldn't be, I don't know what I'm doing.
I think he's trying to make himself look good.
Oh, he doesn't look good. He can't make himself look good.
Yeah, it's hard to look good.
He was getting booed walking out of the hotel. when he brought his team to the Sweet 16, that doesn't happen.
Now, to be fair, he's getting booed by one guy, the guy that was shooting the video.
Okay, well, all those callers we took yesterday, the Maryland fans, they would have all booed.
I can read you more tweets.
People are frustrated.
There was video of a bar from College Park.
Was that Looney's?
It was one of them.
Yeah.
And
that's where Thomas Mooney crowd, was.
All the students were booing him when he came on screen.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not just one guy.
Yeah, he's not a popular guy in College Park right now.
All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in, you can always hit us up at 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Keep it here. Welcome back.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcast.
Act Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, talking about the Maryland situation. They lose last night in the Sweet 16 to Florida, who, look, they're a great team. They're a one seed, so that's not devastating, but everybody is wondering what is Kevin Willard, the head coach, going to do next. I know Jason and I just got a text from an insider.
Oh. Very good.
Claims Buzz Williams is going to be Maryland's next head coach. We'll see.
Baffles me if that happens.
I saw that rumor yesterday, too.
I saw his name out there, but I don't know where that starts. I mean, it could just start on social and people run with it. But, I mean, Buzz Williams is from Texas. He was at Virginia Tech for 5 years. He went to Texas A&M because he's from Texas, always wanted to go there. And now he wants to come to College Park.
He's probably getting handsomely compensated. I mean, A&M.
He's in the SEC. You know the SEC's got ridiculous resources.
Mm-hmm. If you don't want a coach who will leave you high and dry, I don't know if Buzz Williams is the coach you want. The guy takes a new job every 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. That name doesn't make sense, but who knows? None of this really makes sense.
He was at Marquette from 08 to 14. He was at Virginia Tech from 14 to 19. And he's been at Texas A&M from 19 to now.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good coach, but I don't know why he'd want to come to College Park. It's not like a dream job.
There are a lot of rumors. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067 is the number. That's the same number for the Lido text line. Lido Pizza, of course, a local favorite since 1965, serving pizza, subs, and wings, and salads.
Guess where I went last night for dinner?
Lido Pizza.
Lido.
Chase,
and sit there. I ordered out.
You know their pizza is square
because
Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com. Text 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. I should mention we're going to...
You can't call them Lido's Pizza. It's Lido Pizza. Yeah. Like, I know you're not from around here if you call them Lido's. I just know.
But
would never do such a thing because he's wearing their hoodie.
But if you say you're going to Lido's.
Yeah. A lot of people say Lido's.
I say I'm going to Lido's. I don't usually say I'm going to Lido.
Maybe that's a little bit of a carve out. Possibly. I'll give you a little bit of wiggle room. But I'm going to...
When you ask people,
raise an eyebrow.
When you ask people...
If you say Lido's.
When you ask people, like if let's say they come over to your house.
Yeah.
And you're having a little gathering, but you're going to order some pizza.
Yeah.
Would you say, hey guys, do you want some Lido?
Yeah.
Or do you say, do you want some Lido's?
I
kind of say Lido's.
I might slip into Lido's. I may be talking out both sides of my mouth.
It's Lido. It's always Lido.
Yeah,
you wouldn't say, we're going to go get some Burger Kings.
Right.
No, you're correct.
I'm not going to go get McDonald's.
I know you're correct grammatically.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a tendency, and I've heard other people say it, and I think Cakes has admitted to saying it, that when people say they're going to order out, they say, hey, do you guys want some Lido's?
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the way it is.
I'm going to have to follow Drab's lead. I'm just going to have to be resolute in just always doing Lido or Lido Pizza.
Yeah.
Because that's the correct way to do it.
Well, bottom line is you can text us on the Lido Pizza text line, 1-800-636-1067. You can also hit us up on X at Junks Radio. But there's so much going on in the sports world. Why don't we open up the Junkie Sports page?
I love days like this.
Yeah, you do. These are your faves.
Yesterday, you know, the weather was really nice, mid-60s, maybe low-60s. The wind had died down, sunny, felt warm. So my neighbors all wanted to have a driveway happy hour.
Okay.
And, you know, I love driveway happy hours.
Sure.
But they wanted to have it right at 4 o'clock.
Okay. First
you tell them
the
F off?
And I said, oh, my gosh, this is right when opening day, you know, first pitch.
Yeah.
So I did. I went out there for a couple drinks, but then I came back
in. Now, is it always BYOB, or does one person bring all the drinks?
Oh, no, it's BYOB.
Okay, you just bring your own.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's like a group of four houses, five houses.
Okay, got
Everyone
it.
One walks into the cul-de-sac and yeah. then goes into one driveway and they just start talking.
You guys bring your folding, your
sometimes,
folding chairs sometimes. The whole bit.
Yesterday, we just stood.
Okay.
Kids are all going crazy. There's a lot of young kids in my neighborhood.
Mm. What was your poison?
I was drinking some Open Road bourbon and, and Diet Coke.
Nice.
A couple of those.
Mm. Like it.
Anyway, but you know, it was a big day, obviously, with the opening day. We'll talk about that later. But big day, obviously, because Maryland was playing in the Sweet 16 against Florida. We kind of recapped that game. 87-71 final. Florida's really, really good. That's 33 wins now. And you
Their
know,
coach we looks like he's about 15
he
years
looks
old.
Young.
He, yep. I mean, he looks so young.
Yep.
I think he's 39.
He doesn't look it, but yeah, yeah maybe.
He doesn't even look that old.
But they out-rebounded the Terps by 22. I mean, that's a huge, huge difference. You know, one of the kids that came off the bench for Florida, Thomas Hawk, he had 9 boards off the bench. Mm-hmm. He had 13-9 off the bench. And you're just not going to get that from any Terp.
So, yeah, they were getting a lot of second-chance points.
Yep.
I did think Queen was the best player on the court.
Queen's very good. Yeah, Queen's obviously a pro. And you saw the last of Derek Queen.
Yeah. I said to my son while we're watching in the basement, I was like, enjoy this because this is the last time you're going to see Derek Queen wearing a Maryland uniform.
Yes.
This is it. This is the swan song.
Yep.
And it was a good one by him.
If he develops that jumper, and he knocked down, I think, 2 threes, mm-hmm. if he develops that,
yeah.
he could be a really, really good pro.
He had one last night. I think he had 2 in the Colorado State game.
Yeah.
He had 2 early in the game against Colorado State. He had 1 last night.
Now he's got to get the range out a little bit.
Yeah.
A
little
bit. But he can play. He's a mm-hmm. good player.
He was perfect from the free throw line, too.
10. Yeah. So, you know, the second half was pretty much all Florida, even though Maryland kept it close in the first half. But great season, and then obviously we'll see what happens with Kevin Willard. We'll be talking about that throughout the show. Also, last night, and I really wanted to watch this game too, and this game started first, Alabama and BYU, just because of the pace of play of both teams.
It was frenetic.
It was unbelievable. It really was. And I thought Bama would win. I took Bama in one of my survivor pools because BYU, you know, they're better athletically.
Yeah.
And BYU is not a great defensive team. And if Bama was able to get 3-point shots off, which they were, I just thought that they were going to be the better team. I didn't think they would be this much better. I didn't think they would win by 25.
You didn't think they'd hit 25 3-pointers?
Think about that number. Think about this number, people. They took 66 shots in the game. 51 of them were threes.
Yeah.
So they only took 15 shots inside the arc in 40 minutes.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable to me. I don't think I've ever seen that in a college basketball game.
Alabama was great, and they were clearly outclassing BYU. But that kid, Igor Demon from BYU, he's a stud.
Yeah, he'll be a top pick.
Yeah, he'll
be a top pick.
He kind of jumped off the screen while I was flicking back and forth. Like
if you look at mock drafts, he's up there.
Yeah, he was impressive.
Yep. But that offensive approach, my buddy Michael Schwimmer that runs Big League Advance, he works with Alabama and Nate Oates on their game plans. That's all by design.
Of course. That's what they want to do. And
another part of their design yesterday was BYU, I believe, was the best team in the country on transition corner threes.
Yep.
They took that away. They made BYU get buckets in the paint, which they don't usually do. And they're like, okay, you can take buckets in the paint.
You can have
2.
We'll trade
We're
going to
take
2.
Threes.
Yeah, we'll trade 3s for 2s all game long.
No, you're right. And also,
good strategy.
But also, they just weren't on. I mean, BYU has a couple guys who can shoot the 3 really well in the 40s percentage-wise, Saunders and Knell. And those kids can really shoot, but they were not good last night. And when you go 6 for 30 from threes against Bama, you're just not going to win.
Yep. It's lights out at that point.
But it was a fun game to watch. I mean, second half was obviously a blowout, but it was a fun game to watch. A lot of points, no defense. But just think about that number, 25 for 51 on threes, 50% from threes. I mean, that's unbeatable. It's an unbeatable statistic.
Yeah, and Mark Sears had 10 of them.
And Mark Sears, who has turned into one of the best players in the country. This guy started out in the MAC conference, guys. Mm-hmm. Started out at Ohio U. He was a MAC conference player. And now he goes to the SEC, and he's been there for 3 years, and he's become one of the best players in the country. So Alabama beats BYU. So Florida is going to play Texas Tech, who beat Arkansas in overtime last night. I didn't watch any of this game because I went night-night, but just kind of reading the recap, Arkansas had a really big lead for most of this game. I think they were up, I don't know, they were up 14-15 at one point, maybe more. They blew a 13-point lead with under 5 minutes to play. And they lose 85-83. And again, the difference in this game, we kind of talked about rebounding in the Florida game. Rebounding in this game, the Texas Tech Raiders had 22 offensive rebounds.
No.
Think about that.
Yeah, they had 51 rebounds total.
Yep. So they were just killing Arkansas on the boards and getting second and third chances. And 22 offensive rebounds is just a big number. And Texas Tech wins that game 85-83. So they're going to advance and play Florida. Bama, we just talked about, they're going to play Duke. Duke beats Arizona 100-93. Cooper Flagg had 30 in the game. And they were also very efficient from threes. They were 11-19. And they shot 60% for the game. You know, Arizona shot the ball pretty well, too. They just couldn't stop Cooper Flagg, and they couldn't stop Knepple, and he had 20 in the game.
Yeah, it's hard to beat Duke when they shoot 58% from three-point land.
Like, yeah, I mean, these numbers are crazy.
That's going to be a tough nut to crack.
Yes. Who took Duke in the Survivor?
I took
Survivor?
Duke last night.
Cakes took Duke. JP took Bama.
I wasn't crazy about taking Duke, but it dawned on me that I just have to make it to the next day. Just make it to today with the team intact.
Yeah, I took a chance. I took Arkansas.
Yep.
Because I had already used, in previous games, I had already used some of the top seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not happy about it because I wanted to win this thing. I had already used Tennessee. I'd already used Bama. I mean, I could have gone out on a limb and used another one seed, but I'm out.
It is Rick and me that the two guys left. I guess Bickle's left too, right?
Three guys. EB's left, yeah.
You guys took the overwhelming favorites from the get-go, and everyone else is trying to pick like the 8 seed to advance, and you guys just took a bunch of 1 seeds. But you're going to run into a problem here because all the top seeds keep winning.
I only took one 1 seed. I still have Duke.
I've now burned two 1 seeds. I burned Auburn, and I burned Duke last
night. I still have
night.
Florida, right?
You better hope that...
JP still has Florida. He's used, out of the teams that are still alive, he's used Tennessee, Houston.
I used 1-1.
Yeah, and then you've used Texas Tech and Michigan State. So you've used a bunch of twos, but you've only used 1-1.
I really need like a Houston versus Florida final because I'm trying to save those are my aces up my sleeve at this point.
Yeah.
Bama was, to me, a little bit of a risky play, but I felt like I needed to go with Bama to save the ones.
But again, this is not for big money. This is $10 a man.
Bragging rights.
Okay, whatever.
Bragging rights.
I'll give you my pick right now. I'm picking the Vols today. I'm going to burn another high seed.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Why not?
I'm not positive. I'm leaning Michigan State. But
JP can't take Michigan State.
I already used them.
You used them already.
You know what? He's burned yet. I think I'm using them for jabbies.
Yeah. I got to look at what I got going on.
Yes. So, all right. So those are the games from last night. Four more tonight, starting at 7:09 on CBS. It's going to be Ole Miss and Michigan State. Michigan State's laying about 3.5 in that game. Kentucky is playing Tennessee for the third time. That's a 7:39 game on TBS. And Kentucky has swept Tennessee. It's going to be very difficult to beat Tennessee 3 times, but we'll see. Tennessee's a 4.5-point favorite in that game. And then Michigan.
That's interesting, even though they lost both times.
Yep, they're the fave. Slight favorite, but they're the favorite. Michigan is playing Auburn. That's a 9:39 scheduled first tip, opening tip. Auburn lays 8.5. And also Purdue is playing Houston. That's the late game, and Houston is an 8.5-point favorite. So 4 more games. Checking out your brackets. You know, a lot of the top seeds still advancing. The last time all 4 1-seeds advanced to the Elite Eight, well, I believe, was about 9 years ago. So it's certainly a possibility. And we're just kind of waiting to see what happens with old K-Dub over there in College Park. I'm not sure what time their flight leaves. I think it probably leaves sometime this morning from San Francisco back to the East Coast.
By the way, with Arkansas out,
mm-hmm.
who's the lowest remaining seed?
Probably just
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, 6 seed.
Wow.
Super chalky tournament.
Yep.
No Cinderellas. Mostly blue bloods.
Yeah, but that's what people want later in the tournament, because when it's Florida Atlantic and San Diego State in the final four, everyone complains and says, well, why would I watch this?
Right.
Yeah. So, and last year you had NC State make that crazy run. Mm-hmm. True Cinderella.
Nobody wants a real Cinderella in the final four. And maybe it's, if it's a small school.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked it when it was VCU and George Mason, obviously.
Yeah, of course, but it was so long ago. I want to see the Dukes and the Alabamas and the Houstons and the Auburns.
Man,
or the
I see enough of Alabama college football knowing that they're good.
But they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
They're fun to watch.
They definitely jack up a lot of threes.
So we'll see what's going on. I know that we're going to talk about some of the other locals. Caps played last night, obviously opening day with the Nats.
Right.
Wizards play a great defensive game last night. So we'll talk about that.
We do have Will Dawkins, their GM. He'll join us coming up at 8:25. Also, Kevin McCarthy to talk some movies. It's been a while since we've talked to Kevin.
Good.
He'll jump on in the 9 o'clock hour at 9:25. Keep it here. We're the Junkies on the Fan. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. You know, during the commercial break, I don't know if you've paid attention to B. Mitch's commercial, but, and I talked to B. Mitch about this.
Mm-hmm.
So he is taking up motorcycle riding.
Mm.
Now, he said when he was growing up, he used to ride dirt bikes.
Sure.
So in this case, he's had to get a license and go through the testing. One of those days that I stuck around here at the station when we had that schmooze fest, that client schmooze fest at Nats Park, I talked to him a little bit about it, and he'd said that he did it. But it struck me, you know, he's about our age. I think he's 1 or 2 years older than us. Taking up a different hobby in life.
Well, that
is somewhat unique at an advanced age.
It's a dangerous hobby.
Yeah.
Like, that's not like taking up like pickleball or golf. Riding a motorcycle is, I'm sorry, it's just it's a dangerous pursuit. Like, you got to be butt careful. Even if you are super careful, you're just vulnerable out there on a motorcycle. I feel like even if you take all the precautions and wear a helmet and you're cognizant of what's going on around you, like, if you get an accident on a motorcycle, it's just bad news.
Yeah, you're gone.
Like, is there anything that you want to take up later in life that you haven't yet?
Not really.
Here's my take on that.
You just gave me a dirty look.
I'm almost 55 years old. If I haven't taken something up yet, it's probably not going to get taken up. Like, if I haven't bungee jumped off of a bridge or jumped out of an airplane with a parachute, or climbed Mount Everest, like, I'm probably not doing those things at this point. Like, I would have already shown an inclination to start doing some of those things before I'm in my mid-50s, right?
I would think.
I guess he just got bored of just riding bicycles.
I'm pretty sure.
Because I know he's a huge bicycle rider.
Here's a perfect example.
It's also an endorsement deal. Let's be real.
Okay.
Good for him. Like,
that
helps. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be the next Alex Honnold and free climbing on big giant rock faces.
No.
Well, first of all, I'm not strong enough. Second of all, you could die doing it. Like, that's first of all, you could die doing it. Not strong enough. And have no real desire to do that sort of thing.
But you're not going to take up flying, for example.
Flying like I'm a pilot? Flying?
Yes.
No.
Some people do that.
Oh, yeah, you're
understood.
Right.
Some people do it.
I would never do that.
So you're in your box, and you're not stepping outside of that box.
I'm not saying I'm never going to try new things, but they're mostly going to be safe, I think. I think I'm going to play it kind of safe. Like, here's what I might do. I might get a moped or a scooter like EB.
Probably not even going to do that.
But a Harley Davidson or something, I'm out of the real highway? No, I don't think, I'm pretty sure that's not happening.
Wasn't there a movie where a bunch of old, like, middle-aged white guys, I want to say Tim Allen was in it, maybe John Travolta.
Is it Wild Hogs?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know, I haven't seen the movie, but it's ringing a bell.
Yeah.
Wild Hogs?
I think that's the name of it.
How did you remember the title?
I think he's right.
Because I have weird residue in my brain that just sticks around.
That's unbelievable.
All right, so we mentioned the local sports teams.
Yep.
Last night, you had the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
The Terps were in the middle of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You had The Capitals.
Correct.
And that didn't go so well, much like the Terps.
Can I mention one thing about that game? Alex Ovechkin did not score, but I don't know if you guys saw at the end of the game.
Did not.
Very classy move by Ovi. So they're playing the Minnesota Wild. You have audio of it, Max? Okay, Max is going to get the audio of it.
Okay.
Alex Ovechkin at the conclusion of the game, really classy move. He's going to play the audio here.
As best you can tell, Alex Ovechkin gathering all of his teammates, telling them, don't go back to the locker room. That is legend recognizing legend. Look at that, Ray. Alex Ovechkin got the guys out of the tunnel, brought them back on the ice and said, no, we have to go shake hands with Marc-Andre Fleury.
As I said, I don't recall seeing this other than Wayne Gretzky. There's just nobody that quite has connected with people around the league like the way Marc-Andre Fleury has. He's a remarkable person. Every stop he's been to, he has been a most favored son, and it's because of the way, A, he plays, but the way that he treats people. It's a great thing to see.
Just a classy move by Ovi. You know, guys were walking down the tunnel, and he motioned to have them all come back, line up at center ice, skate up to Marc-Andre Fleury, shake his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Classy.
So he's
classy
the goalie. Move. Is he retiring?
Yeah, I think he's
40 years old. 20, he's already announced his retirement.
I think he's got 20 years in the league, kind of like Ovi. Ovi's had.
But he didn't play last night.
I don't know whether he started last night, but he's on the Wild roster.
Right.
So Ovi was like, hey, we're going to pay homage to this dude. He's been in the league 20 years. I've battled against him many years when he was in Pittsburgh, and he's hopped around the league toward the end of his career, but. Nice gesture by Ovi to get all of his teammates out there and shake his hand.
Because you know the team was probably pissed off they lost the game.
Yeah, they just want to get out,
go get on a plane,
right.
Get the hell out of there.
I thought that was a nice move by Ovi.
It's very cool.
Very classy.
Awesome. Yeah.
Fleury won the Stanley Cup in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. He was the number one pick in the 2003 draft.
Yeah.
So anyway, loss for the Capitals. Not great, but they'll be fine.
And Ovi didn't score, so still needs six with, hold on,
20, 10 or 11 to go?
10 games to play.
Yep.
So he needs 6 and 10, and Cakes is going to New York to the Islander game.
I don't think I'm going to see it. I don't think I'm going to witness history, but it'll still be fun to see Ovi on the road and see the Caps on the road.
Yep.
Are you going to go to the Wizards game on Thursday? We've been invited by the brass.
I believe I am going to go to the game.
I think I'm going to go. I just need to double check with schedule and everything.
I'm going to go, and I'm going to make it a point not to be awkward in the suite when Will Dawkins and company come in like last time. I just went and kind of scurried. And
hid.
I hid in the bathroom for a little bit, and then I just left. This time, I'm going to act like a normal human being and try to have normal human interaction.
Well, I'll tell you this. I had to do a double take when I saw the box score for the Washington Wizards game last night against the Pacers.
Box score breakdown.
They gave up 162 points.
In regulation.
And it could have been more. The Pacers, I think with like 90 seconds or 2 minutes left, were committing shot clock violations and not even attempting to score because the score had gotten so out of hand.
I'm surprised they didn't just give the ball to the Wizards.
They might as well.
When they come down with a minute and a half left, just turn the ball over. Just give it to them. Roll it to the Wizards players.
Yeah, it was not a great night.
162 to 109. That's unbelievable. I think that's the most points ever given up by the Wizards. So in regulation anyway. The Pacers shot 64%. We were talking about the Alabama Crimson Tide with their 25 threes made. Mm-hmm. The Pacers made 27 threes last night.
Yeah, this is not a good headline. Pacers obliterate Wizards, set several franchise records while putting up an NBA best 162 points.
Mm. That's crazy. Yeah, when I saw that number this morning, I said, wait a minute. I got to do a double take on this. I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah, the Pacers started taking shot clock violations with 122 left in the fourth quarter after scoring 162.
I mean, if you would have told me, all right, I'm going to give you the Pacer or the Wizards plus 52 and a half points.
Right.
How much do you want to put on it? I'd say, let me go to the bank.
Right. Let me make a sizable withdrawal.
Can I go to the bank and go to the ATM and take out whatever they allow me to?
Right. The maximum.
And you'd be a big loser.
Pacers had 83 at halftime.
But we were kind of talking about it before the show, Drabby. The the NBA is a joke. I mean, obviously, when you get in the playoffs, teams are going to try hard. But a lot of these, they're so unpredictable. You don't know when certain teams are going to show up. You know, the Wizards have beaten really good teams on the road. But then they beat, you know, they lose 162 to 109. It's just kind of pick and choose when you want to play.
You absolutely cannot bet on the NBA in March or April.
No, you
until
can't.
The playoffs start.
I don't do it.
Because maybe in January and February, you can get a little run there and enjoy it, the league for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then maybe again when the playoffs start. But the final month and a half of the season, it's an absolute joke. Between the roster management and teams trying to lose on purpose, and it's not just teams like the Wizards. It's teams trying to not make the playoffs as 11 and 10 seeds.
Yeah.
They don't want anything to do with it. So they just play scrubs all the time. It's, you know, you can't get too excited when you see Alex Saar, as good as he's been, put up like 24 and 15 because it doesn't mean, right. it doesn't mean anything right now.
But just watching the highlights of that game, the Wizards literally played zero defense. They had no interest in trying to stop the ball. They had
Jason,
no
it was 45 to 31 at the end of one quarter. So give up 45 points in the first quarter.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's when you got your starting five out there, you got your game plan, and you give up 45 points.
I'll tell you the one team that's been really consistent and a lock, not just to just win, but to cover, is Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one team.
They had a little blip last week where they lost three in a row, but by and large, Cleveland, OKC.
You're right. I mean, Cleveland as a whole has been one of those teams that they're not going to just give up. They're not. I mean, they did have that short three-game losing streak, but for the most part, I mean, they've won 59 games. And they didn't cover. I don't think they covered last night against the Spurs. But if you ever wanted to put Cleveland in a money line parlay with, you know, if you thought, you know, with Florida or with a couple other NBA teams that you thought were going to win, Cleveland's been really good at just winning games. And they've been a really good covering team. I don't know what their at's number is, but it's pretty good. And but most of these teams you just can't predict.
All right, are you going to talk about Mackenzie Gore? Because we had Dan Kolko in studio yesterday, and we talked to the Nationals reporter about Mackenzie Gore, who was the opening day starter. And one of the things that he talked about was consistency, and we'll see how that bears out over the season. But he was striking out dudes left and right.
He was awesome. He owned JT Realmuto. He struck him. I believe he struck him out four times. But yes, Gore was unbelievable. Six innings, one hit, struck out 13, didn't walk anybody. I believe he left the game with the lead 1-0. Then they went to the bullpen, and Luke Sims, who they got from, he's been in the league for a while. He got him from Boston. He came up, he gave up a home run to Bryce. Then they brought in Jose Ferrer. He gave up two runs. Then they brought in this poachy dude.
He took the L.
He gave up three runs. So the bullpen just let it go. But, yeah, Gore was unbelievable. I thought it was a really cool scene.
Wheeler was good, too, on the other side.
Oh, Wheeler was great.
He was fanned eight nats.
Yeah, he's going to be awesome. He had a great year last year. But it was a cool scene opening day. The flyover was awesome with the four jets flying over. Perfect timing. Right after the anthem. I don't know how many fans were there. It didn't look like it was a ton. Maybe they kind of filed in later in the game, but it
looked pretty packed toward the end of the game.
Towards the end of the game,
middle
maybe.
Toward the end.
Yeah, but it was pretty cool. Anyway, the Phillies beat the Nats 7-3. I don't believe there's a game tonight. I think they take the night off, and then they play game two of that series tomorrow.
Coming up next, we're going to get back to the University of Maryland situation. What do you want to see happen to Kevin Willard, head coach of the Maryland Terrapins? He did take the Terps to the Sweet 16. They get bounced out by Florida last night. But what do you want to see moving forward? 800-636-1067. We'll get into that next here on the Junkies.